greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and I'm joining you live from How Are You, Your Acres tonight, right here in the wonderful, great state of Tennessee. Glad to have you aboard. We're going to get into some interesting dialogue tonight. This is part five of the racial covenant identity of Yahweh. I want you to stay tuned because we've got a great one for you. You're going to find out tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh is just as real as he says he is in the Bible. That means that he's coming back to be the judge, and he's only judging his people. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, universalism, how true is it? Is there going to be grace granted for everybody? And we want you to sort of bear with my throat tonight because we are suffering a bout of laryngitis, but we'll make it through with the help of Yahweh and your prayers. We're going to give you the message tonight that we feel is from the bottom of our heart and the heartbeat of the Spirit. You know, the Bible said to try the Spirit, and it's exactly what we intend to do tonight, to see if there is another way for you to climb up. Universalism is reconciliation. It is the name commonly given to the belief that there shall be universal restoration beyond death. Not only for the race, but for every individual of all races. Now, I want you to keep in mind. Now, the Bible is written to, for, and about a family of Yahweh that he chose from the foundation of the world. He said, "Of you, of all families in the earth, have I chosen that you might believe that you are my sheep, and I am the shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, he didn't say that he laid down his life for someone else. However, universalism is taught by those who believe on the assumption that the demerit of sin will not last forever. I want you to remember this. And that all who enter eternity in a state of rebellion against God shall eventually find reconciliation and peace. There are varieties of universalism taught which stop short of expounding on the subject as far as deep as I'm going to go tonight. For example, there is a belief in the condition national immorality, which holds that an opportunity will be given after death for the acceptance of salvation. And that acceptance will mean the salvation, while rejection will be followed by extinction. There is also the more general form of the doctrine that all unbelievers, with or without a second chance, will be annihilated. Both these forms are agreed in rejecting the doctrine of everlasting punishment through the holders of conditional immorality, except the fact of punishment for at least a period. There are also certain ideals that are common to every form of universalism woven into the pattern of the doctrine of universalism. They all view the character of God as animated by sheer benevolence rather than by holy love. They regard the will of man as something that can be overruled and subdued by a mere exercise of superior power, rather than something that is man's right by every constitution of his nature. And they regard Scripture as expressing views common to the age and that it was written, rather than a revelation of a mind and the seeking of the will of God. Notwithstanding this low view of the Bible, they all quote Scripture texts in support of their views, denying outright and by manipulation of isolated texts removed from their context, they make out a plausible cause for their positions that they hold. Now, who holds this? Well, let's get into a little bit of gestalt for you and lay a little foundation. Then we're going to read you some things in the Bible about the punishment or the reward or the temporal punishment and then the reward of all the wicked. Is Yahweh basically choosing sides? And for those who have followed him in the regeneration and accepted him at the altar, some altar somewhere, by just confessing the name and believing on him, been offered salvation through a church or a religious body, whether you are in the family plan, whether you are Israel, or whether you dwell outside of Israel. Now, we're going to examine some of the bases for these doctrines and speak to you about a doctrine that goes back at least as old as Origen, and it was taught in the school that he presided over at Alexandria in the extreme form, listen to this now, that all, not a few, but all fallen beings, including the devil and his angels, who do or did not repent in this world, shall pass through a prolonged chastisement in the world to come, and in the end, through these sufferings and the instruction of superior spirits, they will undergo a change and be brought to bliss. Through Origen's views, they have been condemned by the Council of Constantinople in AD 543. The heresy continued to appear in certain sections of the church for many centuries. Now, we're going to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to ask you this question. We're going to ask you if the time of the appointment of the penalty for death and destruction of those who have disobeyed Yahweh and have not kept his faith, Yahweh is going to become a judge and a jury, ladies and gentlemen, for the punishment of the wicked and those who have not qualified for his salvation. Is there a people on earth called by his name that are worthy of eternal life, although they have failed and come short, although they're sinners by nature? Is there a covenant to cover them and reconciled reconciliation? Now, ladies and gentlemen, the doctrine of universalism, salvation to all races, creeds, and colors. Well, let's examine the facts. If you go to the book of Revelations, where we're going to begin tonight, and tell you about a people that have come in unaware. And this people is a people that have not been granted salvation by covenant, but salvation by universal approach. And the name Catholic comes to mind. The Catholic Church, which means universalism, taught that salvation is extended to all of the beings on earth. And even if so be that your loved ones miss accepting Christ upon the earth, then after a certain period in a place called purgatory, they can be prayed out of this state or condition to be granted eternal salvation in the kingdom to come. Now, who would teach a doctrine like this? Who would go against the covenant principles of you that are in all of the world, though you be few, have I chosen? You are my sheep. I am your shepherd. I come that you might have life and that you might have it abundant. The price paid for the reconciliation of the suffering of his creatures. You see, he suffered without so that you would be blessed within. Not your flesh man. See, he suffered for the outward man. He paid the penalty that man could not pay. He went the extra mile that the man could not walk. He stepped into a position that you could not, because heaven was searched, the earth was searched, and beneath the earth was searched. And no one was found worthy of the grace extended that must be needed, and the suffering that was extended to the suffering servant without. He suffered without. That means the man of the flesh. He paid the penalty of death supreme. He walked where you couldn't walk. He talked when you couldn't talk. He answered when you couldn't answer. He said yes when your flesh man said no. He was the only one found worthy. And he said, I know my sheep. Now, there were some of the Pharisees, and tonight we're going to talk about the doctrine or the leavening of the Pharisees. Beware of the leavening or the doctrine of the Pharisees. What is it? It was that they believed in a spiritual existence and that it was extended, as it says in the book of Jeremiah 31:31, our redemption was brought back under a new covenant, which includes the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Jeremiah 31:31, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. These two houses will become one. In the end, when the revelation and the doctrine of reconciliation is administered equally to the house of Israel and the house of Judah, the restoration has to come according to Jeremiah 31:31, and in Hebrews 8:8. Very significant. 3 and 1 is 4. 4 is rest. 8 is a new beginning. So a rest and a new beginning for those who are weary. Come and learn of me, he said in Matthew, in chapter 11, verse 25. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Ladies and gentlemen, the stranger that is mentioned in Isaiah 56, now these are some of the scriptures that the universalists apply to their doctrine. Now, let me explain what they're doing. And the word stranger, now there's two words and two strong key numbers before the word stranger. In Isaiah 56, 3 and 6 is 52:36 instead of 16:16. When Israel was divorced, they became equivalent to non-Israelites until the Messiah purchased them back with his own blood, so 52:36 is not out of order in the passage. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown's commentary on page 582 of this passage describes the number 52:36, stranger, thus, the man, Hebrew, Enosh, a man in unbelief, and a contradistinction into Hebrew Ish, one of high rank. In this sense of the meaning of Enosh, it is very fitting, for Israel was humbled when she was punished, as of Deuteronomy 28:44. That verse reads, he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. To show that the divorced Israelites were considered strangers under the term of number 52:36, as they were divorced and become strangers among the strangers, which meant Gentiles. All one needs to do is to read Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 5, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they were estranged from me through their idols. Then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 19, that at that time you were without a redeemer, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers, that word 52:36, from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without Yahweh in the world. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers, but 16:16, and foreigners, as you are accepted back into the fold through the blood of the covenant redeemer. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so wonderful that knowledge is passed on to those who love Yahweh and are called according to his purposes. Do you love him? You're no more a 52:36 stranger if you've accepted the new covenant. But you are a 16:16, although I might not know you, you may not know me. In that sense, we are 16:16. However, to Yahweh, we've been redeemed by his blood as covenant members of the family, once divorced, but now reconciled and adopted through the works where that at that time you were without the Messiah, the Redeemer, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. Now therefore, you are no more strangers, there it is, and foreigners, ladies and gentlemen, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Yahweh. Again, in Colossians 1:21, and that you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind through wicked works, works that the world is condemned of, and yet you were guilty of the same. You wanted to be like the world. You loved the world. And so the love of the Father was withdrawn from your heart. You were given a stony heart. You were given a wandering mind. You were given a sleeping spirit. And so Israel collectively wandered aimlessly as the strangers in the Bible that we talk about, and not reconciled to the Messiah until we became part of that process of Strong's number 1616. That is two eights of Romans 8 and 8, that we became reconciled through his blood, through adoption, never to be disinherited of the salvation of a family. And so universalism is taught, in a sense, that God adopted and covered everybody with his blood in the earth. We would be a Gentile. We would be a heathen. We would be a stranger of 5236, alienated. And that Yahweh has chosen to save even the devil and his fallen angels after a period of punishment, as this church here teaches. Let me show you what this church is to lay a little groundwork. And there came one of the seven angels in Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, which had the seven vials, and he talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Judgment of the whore. A whore. Something estranged. Something that is not married legally to the husband. Someone that has a bunch of children and brings them in and expects them to be covered under the anointed family blood. Even the offspring of Satan and his children. This is universalism, ladies and gentlemen. The Hebrew Enosh man is a man in humbled state of being. We became proud, dotting about, knowing nothing, separated from the commonwealth, alienated in our mind with wicked works. We deserved the judgment of the heathen. We deserved to become blind. We deserved to lose our authority. We deserved to lose the covenant blessings. We deserved to lose headship and become the tail. Therefore, the punishment that was welded out by the Creator of chastisement and love, that we might learn obedience through suffering, that we could be reconciled through his blood, and a door was effectually opened that no man could close, and that we could in time women that any should perish. But all would come to repentance, and all Israel will be saved, but not all Israel is Israel. I'm going to repeat that. All Israel will be saved. That means only his family. Not all Israel is Israel. But all Israel will be saved. Now, get that into your spirit. There is a difference between the two bodies of Israel. Those that say they're Israel, and those who don't know they're Israel. There are those that say they're of Israel. They even named a nation after their the name of Israel, the prince that wrestled with Yahweh and prevailed, became a supplanter of the covenant titles, the one that intended to go to Esau, the Edomite. He was hungry, and he valued the birthright as a bowl of beans, lentils, pottage. He valued the worth of that for a bowl of beans. Well, what a bargain. And yet today, those who have the birthright don't know they have the birthright. And those that don't have the birthright proclaim that they have it and are given the distinctive honor of being God's chosen people, when in reality they are seed, offspring of the serpent. I know them that say that they are out of the house of Judah, but are not. But they are out of the synagogue, the house, the sperm, out of the seed of Satan, right out of the stones of Satan. Now, Satan, being a male gender, and we know he was, because he was capable of bringing forth seed. He did this in the Garden of Eden illicitly when he enticed and committed the fornication. Now, again, hold it right here. I will show you the judgment of the great whore, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now, he being a fornicator, a fallen one, have convinced the kings of the earth. Who's the kings of the earth? These are the royal elite of the serpent king race of Satan. These are the ones that sit in the high seats of authority. These are the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the doctrine that they teach. Christ commanded us to beware of it, to avoid it, to open their eyes, to pray, to fast. And ladies and gentlemen, unless you are willing to humble yourself as Enosh, man, of the Hebrew, you will in no wise enter in, because he resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble man. The 16:16 man of the book of Jeremiah 31:31, of the book of Hebrews 8:8, where in Isaiah 56:3-6, the word is 52:36 instead of 16:16, when Israel was divorced and removed and counted as a stranger and a foreigner, proved by the book of Hebrews, as Paul said, alienated, doing the wicked works of those who are wicked, deserving the same fate that they got, and yet by grace are you saved. Will a mother forget her sucking young? And though she does, yet I will not forget family, Israel. All day long, my hand is stretched forth to a gainsaying and a disobedient people. Since only the Israelites, now listen to me, were given the Ten Commandments of Isaiah 56, verses 3 through 8. It could only be speaking of Israel or Judah, since Israelites were only given the Ten Commandments. And yet the world has modeled the Ten Commandments. None of them keep them. We got more stealing, more killing, more violence in the earth than at any time in the history of the earth that we've been keeping history. Now we know that nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. So it's coming round as it was in the days of Noah. As I said last night in my message, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now the question is, when he comes, what's he going to do? Is he going to reconcile the universal teaching and bring everybody back into the fold? Because we're all products and offspring of Yahweh. Are we truly, is it biblical that we are truly all offspring of Yahweh? Is all flesh in the earth the literal offspring that we might call Yahweh our Father? Now, when he was here, he gave us a model prayer to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, it's obvious that Father's not a name. But the humble Ish man, the man that is to humble down and receive the chastisement, for without chastisement, you are indeed a bastard and a fornicator and a drunkard, spiritually speaking, and a murderer. And you know that no drunkard, no fornicator, no bastard, or no murderer has eternal life dwelling in him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is evident that our Father came to his own. Now, the Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him what? Not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many of his own that received him, he gave them power to become the sons of the Mighty One, even to them that believed in his name. Now, his name is not Jesus. His name is not Lord. His name is not God. His name is not Kuros. His name is not Elohim. His name is Yahweh. And his name is above every name in heaven. You say, oh, I don't know that there's any names in it. Oh, yes, there is. Gabriel. Satan used to be in heaven. Lucifer, the bright in the morning star. He was cast out. And yet universalism would teach that he's going to be reconciled eventually after a short punishment for their sin. I want to ask you a question. Isn't daily rigors of life being tempted and tried to be turned aside, as was Eve, who was beguiled by the craftiness of the snake, the serpent, the wise one, the bright one, the shining one, when she desired to have a child of his progeny from his blood, said, when you see Yahweh, you will not desire him. He was comely. He wasn't a fancy man. He wasn't a bright and a marvelous personality. He always made men mad and women mad. That they would hurl stones at him. Satan would make you glad, and you would accept him, and you would envy him, and you would desire him. When we see the Father, we will not desire him. He's got a hard saying, and who can hear it? Does that smack of universalism? I don't think so. Let's read on here, as we are in the second verse of Revelation 17. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk. There it is. Drunk. That's not actual alcohol. It is physical alcohol. It will not create a drunkenness that you could go to hell over. This is a spiritual alcohol, the wine of fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit, where you have to get to see this, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, seven heads and ten-horned beasts is spoken of periodically from the book of Daniel to the book of Revelations. It is particularly spoken of in the 12th chapter, where the fall of Satan and the war is sued, that Michael and his angel warred against the dragon and his angels, and the fall was complete and final and fatal. Satan will never be reconciled, neither will his angels, neither will they find a space of repentance, neither is there a purgatory for them to dwell in until they pay the ultimate supreme. They are forever banished from the heavens. Never shall they return, because the Father that judgeth is true and righteous, and true and righteous is his judgment. And so then, notice this. The woman, she's decked in pearls and precious stones, arrayed in purple and scarlet color. She had a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. She sits upon the earth right now. She's got a doctrine of universalism, reaching out to all creeds, reaching out to all colors, all races, whether they must be miscegenated, black to white, white to black to yellow, yellow to black and white. It doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen. The universal acceptance of all of the flesh of humanity can be saved and join this body where she's committing fornication with her doctrine of universalism, as she has filled the earth with the acceptance of a covenant that she has no right to even proclaim. She's trying to ride on the coattails, if you will, of the bride and the bridegroom, who have separated themselves as a family in the earth, waiting on the precious fruit, not for the bride and not for the bridegroom, but for the children of the bride, who is each man who will humble himself and accept the covenant plan, to whom given the commandments. And the Bible said, if you say that you love Yahweh and will not keep his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Now, all of the races of the earth are granted salvation through universalism. Even the children churches that came out of the whore, come out of her, my people. They came out and hated the whore. This is the whore of Revelation 17. There was a group of Protestants, and I hope you get this message tonight. I hope you can see through the deceit of jumping out of a frying pan and getting in the fire, as most Protestants do. Indeed, it was the frying pan of Catholicism, of universalism, that they jumped out of. But they came out of her with the same philosophy. The only thing they hated was the papal throne of a man who was the vicar, who sit in the seat in place of Yahweh, or Jesus Christ, as they call him. They came out of her with the whore doctrine. They came out of her with the name of the whore doctrine. They came out of her with the priesthood of the whore doctrine. They came out of her with the heir of the whore doctrine. They came out of her with universal philosophy of vain deceit, promising salvation to anything that would come to their altars, just like the whore, the harlots, are now indoctrinating the subjects that come to her altar and promise them salvation and freedom when they themselves are servants of their own corruption and bound with the cords of deceit and deception. Full well, being deceived, they are deceived, and will go out to deceive the very elect in the world, and they have literally laid hands on thousands upon thousands times ten thousands of the ancient Israelites who, pertaining to the doctrines and the blessing of the covenant, have been blinded by the sheer ability of the wisdom of the doctrine of universalism, teaching you that all races, creeds, and colors are accepted to Christ as long as they accept Him, and they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you right now that we are in verse 5 right now in this message of Revelations in chapter 17 of the universal concept of Catholicism, which means universal doctrine. A Christ for all. A Christ that will save anything, including the devil. The incorporation of this evil scarlet-colored beast and the whoredoms that she has committed with the kings of the earth. And there is one king that is fierce, the king of Apollon, that is coming out of the bottomless pit that I've talked to you about in the time period of the commencement of the opening of the dark and the foreboding hole in space where Satan and his angels are bound but are being loosed at this hour that I speak to come upon the earth unaware to them that sit upon the earth that they will appear in the heavens as God himself, as Yahweh himself, and these fallen ones will appear as the beauty and the envy of the earth, as the whole world will wonder after the beast and the false prophet and the theology of universalism as they teach to save those with a salvation that is not even promised to them. There's no covenant to all the peoples of the earth. There's only one people, and by this one people, the efforts of Israel alone, he has planted us as the apple of his eye, and chosen us before the foundation of the world because he knows them that are his. It is certain that he also knows them that are not his. Would it be righteous of him to let us become victims of this evil system that we have to suffer with him, to reign with him? And those who have not suffered but have inflicted the suffering and the misery and the deception and the heartache, and you tell me that there's no penalty involved other than a mere period of cleansing after this is over, and we're all going to go home and live happily ever after together? I don't think so. That's not what the Bible says. Yahweh Elohim, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. As a prophet was prophesying concerning a small group that later remained at Jerusalem, the others will be those dispersed into Assyria. Go only. As I begin this series in 721 B.C., go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The prophet was prophesying to a small group. And we have this small people, which are the fewest people upon earth. Straight is the way. Narrow is the gate. And a few there be that find it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you a question. And it's this. Do you believe that you have salvation? Think about it. The implications could be enormous. Search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life. You have none. I want to repeat that. For those of you who have been promised eternal life through salvation by coming to an altar and bowing down and accepting Christ, what about Antichrist? Could there be a spirit of Antichrist in the world? Anti meaning not the true one. Try the spirits, like I said, to begin the message. Try the spirits for wherein you think you have eternal life, that you don't have none. Are you ready to meet Yahweh? Are you ready to put your spiritual integrity on the line? Search the scriptures for wherein you think for these promises of universal acceptance, where you think you have eternal life, you have none. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, that in the fullness of times he will gather together in one all things in the Messiah. That is, those who were the Messiahs to start with. Jeremiah is an example. Jeremiah, I knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. Do you think that he might have had a calling before he ever came here? Do you think that the Messiah would be so forgetful to forget Jeremiah? Do you think if your name was on the Lamb's book and you came out into the world and you wandered and you went astray like a sheep, that he would not, as a shepherd, find you? It is a sad day when you think that the shepherd will lose one of his sheep. I have lost none, and yet when they die, they have no memory. They're purged from any remembrance. They have no remembrance. As it says, upon their forehead was a name written. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. You think that Yahweh's going to grant her eternal life? I don't think so. You think he's going to grant those that have become victims of her and her whoredoms? I don't think so. You think that the harlots are any better off than the mother whore? I don't think so. Both teach the concepts of universal theology. It won't work in Yahweh's kingdom. And I'll prove that to you as I go quickly now to the book of Matthew, and we're going to chapter 25, and we're going to talk about his fulfillment as he comes back for a people that's called by his name. For unto every man, verse 29, that hath shall be given. Now this is Israel. And to him he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he seems to have. That's when you're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Today is a day of salvation. Salvation to whom? To all? No, but to a few. For straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath ten. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and to him that he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, shall be taken away even that which he seems to have. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Oh my. Isn't that where Satan is? Did I mention the dark hole just a while ago, that Satan will emerge in the last days as the light of the world? He'll come as a savior. He'll set in the city of the savior. And he'll show himself that he is the anointed anti, not Christ. But he's going to sit there as Christ. And the whole Christian world, along with Judaism and Islam, will receive him. The reconciliation of universalism will be complete in that day when all major religions of the earth bow. Not as Ishman, but as man taken to the pit and the grave. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the holy angels with him. This is after Satan comes with his unholy angels who are going to appear holy. When Yahweh comes, they're going to appear as unholy because they're going to kill. I'm going to repeat this. When the good angels come, they're going to be bad. When the bad angels come, they're going to be good. Could I make it any plainer? That those who have failed for the doctrine of universalism are going to become victims of the good that are bad rather than the bad that are good. And again, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate one from another as a shepherd, there he is, who said, I have lost none, divideth his sheep from the goats. All Israel will be saved, but not all Israel is Israel. Yahweh will separate out all of those of the doctrine of the Pharisees to, he said, beware. And then shall he set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me drink. Naked, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and said, Yahweh, when did we see you hungry? And said, they, when did we see you? See, it's Israel, the blind Israel. They didn't even know it. When did we see you a stranger and took you in and naked and clothed you? They don't even know what's going on. Or when did we see you sick? Then shall the king answer them, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I preach myself out of time. My throat's cleared up, and I feel like preaching a while. Praise Yahweh. But I'm going to have to get on out of here. And blessed be the name of Yahweh when he cometh after a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. Do you love him tonight? Can you accept him on the basis that he accepted you while you were yet in your sin? He died for you. Not because you were good. Then the bad guys are coming as the good guys. They're going to convince you that they are the answer to life's problems. Just like the bell box today and the universal church of Catholicism is teaching universalism. It's a lie of the devil. And if you love a lie, you'll be damned. He that loveth the truth will suffer. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. We love them tonight and send racial covenant greetings. And this entire message is dedicated to their memory for their support. If you'd like to write Pastor Buddy tonight, simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Caswell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Caswell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, area code 423-338-1972. I love you. I'll see you Monday night, 9 o'clock. Yahweh bless you on WWRB 3.185. You'll find this message archived by our webmaster, Brother Bob, out of the great state of Arkansas. It'll be up shortly, probably tomorrow. Yahweh bless you, and we'll see you in a new year as we are off and running. Our webpage is covered. All the sermons on 2 and 9 is posted, and we've begun a new year. This is the second message on the year 2010. Yahweh bless you. I love you.